This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. Boston Mayor Tom Menino was the first to admit he was not a fancy talker. His diction and his local accent led to a lot of jokes, but he could be an effective public speaker. In less formal settings, his passions ran closer to the surface, illuminating his deep conviction that government exists to actively and vigorously help people. WBUR's George Hicks put together a collection from the last three decades of Menino's musings on education, crime, health care, and politics.
Oh, when I got involved with politics was when I was 13 years old. My dad had a friend of his who was a state representative from Hyde Park, and he gave me some cards to hand out for his friend. And that's when I got bitten by the bug, and I've been involved, I think, ever since.
I never had the idea of running for office. I always ran campaigns. In 1976, I ran the field organization for Jimmy Carter in Pennsylvania. In 1982, and when we went to district city councilors, I saw the candidates who were running for office in my neighborhood. And I said, all these people don't care about people. See, I'm a people person. And I said, I'm going to run for office. And all my friends said, you're crazy. I'm a practical Democrat. You know, and I'm more of a lunch bucket guy, and just to get the job done in the city of Boston. And, you know, I believe in helping. I'm the old-time Democrat. Maybe go back 30 years. I believe in education, a good family life, and jobs, and keeping the crime down in the city.
Who would you like to see as the next president?
Oh, you know, myself.
Are you going to run?
No. I have children. My daughter went through the Boston Public Schools at the height of busing in 1974. She was bused from one school to another throughout those years. And some people say to me, walk away from the schools, Mayor. You have enough things to do. But, you know, if you don't educate those young people, they become a problem for the police department, social service agencies, and they're our future. And a good education is the hub of all successes in life. So that's why we're invested. I'm not a big fan of vouchers. My kid will do okay with vouchers because I know how to work the system. But what about the other kid who doesn't have any ability of a parent who might have come from Bosnia or Somalia or some other place and can't work that system? That's not big out. This is the easy way out, giving everybody a voucher. Go find your own way. I'm not up to that. I want to meet the challenge. I want to make sure our system works for all our kids. Give me the resources. What I need is the resources. Give me the money. I will do with the technology. Look at the school buildings in older cities. We need money to refurbish those buildings. That's what I'm looking for, just the resources. I don't want you to run in my school system. Just give me the ability to make those decisions where that money should be spent. But don't give me money with all kinds of strings attached to it. I want flexibility in working through my system. Like we have in Massachusetts, you have to go through the MCAS. And while all the focus is on passing that test. And it's very complex, but you know what, something? It's great for us in political life, because then we have the opportunity to beat up on teachers and beat up on kids. And we stand up there and make all the speeches we want. But folks, we're hurting the growth of our country. And that's more important. I just say, as I walk the streets at night with some of these gang members, if we had the opportunity to give them jobs or give them a good education, a lot of these kids wouldn't turn to that world of crime and violence. But they don't see the opportunity for themselves to get out of that sphere of hopelessness. I'm not one of those guys going to say build 5,000 jails, because we get early education programs, then we won't have to build the 5,000 jails and create some economic opportunity for some of these kids, and not $4.75 jobs at McDonald's or Burger King. Just don't tell me I'm going to give me $500 million and you have to spend it on one thing. There's not one thing causing this problem. If anybody tells me we're going to put 5,000 cops in the streets of Boston and I'm going to stop the crime, you're crazy. It's a root problem. It has to get back to where those kids are coming from, where they're getting educated, their family life. You have to give those families some hope to get out of that sphere of poverty. And we're not. We're just saying, build the jails, incarcerate them. Sure, if you get arrested, you should be put in jail. But let's spend some money on how we rehabilitate some of those families. Continually here, people talk about assault weapons. Ask police officers who's killing the people in the streets of America. It's the handguns. Until we have a licensing of handguns or the ban of manufacturing handguns in America, the killings are going to continue. Let's get real about it. I believe that we should have national health care. Why isn't the wealthiest country in the world don't have health care? Because here we go again. Special interest groups will not allow it to happen because of the loss of money into the coffers of other individuals. We should be getting back on the agenda of national health care. What we did in Boston, it was the first time in the country, we merged a private hospital and a public hospital, which is the Boston Medical Center. We have the opportunity in Boston to have the best urban health care delivery system in America right here because of the merger. And that was a tough merger. Let me tell you, I dealt with that for 2.5 years.
We negotiated between the University Hospital and Boston City Hospital and the unions. And they've been negotiating all day. Nothing's happening. So I got in there. I said, okay, folks, here's this deal. University Hospital, if we don't pull this deal off now, they'll close. City Hospital, we're downsized. And to the unions, you lose everything. And so I left my watch. I said, this thing deal must be done by 11 o'clock tonight. If it's not done, walk away. That's the end of it. So 11 o'clock came, and they all said, oh, you can't call the mayor. You can't call him. We'll get this done. We don't want to tell the mayor this. We're not getting his bad side. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, they called me, and they cut the deal.
The problem with America today, we're only thinking about the bottom line. Look at our hospitals. Look at our health centers, how they're desperately being cut because of what's going on in Washington.
Like I said in my prepared text, all we talk about down here is cut, 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 cut. We've got to help about people. We've got to talk about human development. That's important to me. It's important to, I bet, most of the people in this country.
You heard me say it 100 times during the campaign, I'm not a fancy talker. This is my inaugural address, my first State of the City speech. But what I'd really like to do today is tell you a few simple things from the bottom of my heart. What this moment means in my own personal life. What this moment means for you, the people of Boston. What we can do together to get our city ready for a new century.
Mayor Tom Menino, in his own words, produced by WBUR's George Hicks. At Boston's Faneuil Hall, Menino is lying in state. The public is invited today to pay their respects, beginning at 10 o'clock. His family, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, and other dignitaries are visiting before then. Also today at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross at 11:30, a mass will be held for the former mayor. Menino's funeral takes place tomorrow. It's a private mass being held at the Most Precious Blood Church in Hyde Park. The funeral procession from Faneuil Hall to Hyde Park will stop at 10 landmarks in Boston that were important to the mayor. 90.9 WBUR will carry the funeral mass beginning at noon tomorrow. This is WBUR.